Welcome. It is Verdict with Senator Ted Cruz. Ben Ferguson with you. Senator, it is the day after Easter, but the White House wouldn't want you to know that Easter even happened on Sunday. They were too obsessed with making sure that everybody knew about the See Everybody That's Transgendered Day.
Well, listen, I hope everyone had a wonderful and blessed Easter yesterday. I hope you had a weekend with your family where you gave thanks to God for God's blessings. And I got to say, right in the middle of it, seeing the Biden White House say essentially Easter doesn't happen in this White House, that their woke priorities trump and any recognition of Christianity or even acknowledgement of Christianity is really sad. We're also going to talk in this episode today about California's new $20 minimum wage law, which sadly is having exactly the predicted effect of causing thousands upon thousands of workers to lose their jobs. Fast food restaurants all across California are laying off workers because woke politicians do not understand basic supply and demand. And third, we're going to revisit what happened with Ronna McDaniel. NBC News saying essentially Republicans need not apply. We are a Democrat-only network. And actually, for a brief moment, the network bigwigs tried to hire a Republican, and their on-air talent, all left-wing Democrats, lost their minds, lit their hair on fire, and immediately the network execs meekly said, okay.
Yeah, we got it wrong. Never mind. We'll fire her. And she read about it in the news, which is insane. That in a moment. But first, let me tell you about our friends over at Ammo Squared. I got to tell you, if you're like me and you're a Second Amendment guy and you want to make sure that you've got ammo and you want to make sure that you don't ever have that feeling again when you went into a store and you couldn't find it, that is where Ammo Squared comes in. They help you stock up on ammunition automatically at amazing pricing. Ammo is delivered on demand or automatically when you need it. So you don't have to deal with going to stores and watch the prices skyrocket and go all over the place or not be able to find it at all. And they store your ammo for free when you don't need it. That's right. They were founded more than 8 years ago in the freedom-loving state of Idaho, and Ammo Square is truly automated, set it, forget it, ammo purchasing. Pick your caliber, set your budget, select a shipping trigger, and that's it. Ammo builds up over time, and it's delivered automatically when you want it. Now, if prices go through the roof and you want to sell it back, you can do that as well. Over 60 different caliber options are available, including multiple options for calibers such as 9mm, 223, 5.56, and 12-gauge shotgun shells. Ammo Squared is there to help you smooth out the rough spots of ammunition availability. It's like an ammo 401k or ammo savings account. Save up that ammo for rainy days. Store it in their storage. You don't even have to take it at your own home. Go to ammosquared.com/verdict. That's ammosquared.com/verdict to sign up, and you're going to get free ammo in your account. That is effortless ammo management. AmmoSquared.com/verdict. Senator, it was Easter. It's a day that I love on Sunday because the world stops. And that doesn't happen very often. And Christians all over the world come together to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is a day when you see people come to church at staggering numbers and come together as families. But you look at the White House, and you go to whitehouse.gov, they had a very different message for Americans. In fact, they tried to hijack, I would argue, Easter altogether for another woke moment.
Well, that's exactly right. The White House put out an announcement on Friday, on Good Friday, that read, quote, "Now, therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden, Jr., President of the United States, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim March 31st, 2024, as Transgender Day of Visibility." Sunday was Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
Listen, as a Christian, there is no more important day in the calendar. Listen, Christmas is a wonderful celebration of Jesus's birth. But at the end of the day, the entirety of Christianity is about Jesus's crucifixion on Good Friday and his resurrection on Easter. Obviously not on those exact days, but those are the days we celebrate his dying for our sins. And I got to say, for the White House to decide, you know, Easter's not really important. The only thing that matters to us is our politics, and nothing matters more than Transgender Day of Visibility. That's truly stunning.
Not only is it stunning, but it's also one of those moments, and people that have not been around a White House, this is not by accident. And there were even some people going, look, you guys are reacting, aka Christians. They're just acknowledging, they didn't create this day, right? The president's just acknowledging this Transgender Visibility Day. And this could have been just, you know, doing two things at once, and they're not really overlooking Easter. I don't believe that for a moment. This is me personally saying that. I think this was a deliberate move by this White House to spit in the face of Christians and to say to younger voters that maybe don't believe in God and the extremists on the Democratic side, hey, we are your party. I think this was deliberate for November because they're trying to shore up younger voters are saying they may stay home and not vote for Joe Biden.
Yeah, see, I guess I disagree with you on that, Ben. I don't really think this was like a overt political decision. I think the senior officials at the White House, most of them have no idea it's Easter. I think they are so secular. I think faith is so distant from their lives that it doesn't even occur to them. I don't think they had a warning sign. You know, it reminds me of, do you remember a couple of years ago when Jill Biden was down in San Antonio, Texas, and she was speaking at a Latinx conference?
Oh, yeah.
And in her remarks, she said that Hispanics are as diverse as breakfast tacos.
Yeah,
which was so utterly offensive. My response immediately was, "Well, I'm a chorizo, egg, and cheese. So thank you, Jill." And it truly is. But what was interesting about that? What was revealing about that? It was not a gaffe. It was not an off the cuff comment. That's the sort of thing Joe Biden might say off the cuff. It was written in her remarks, which means the political office at the White House signed off on it. And they are so woke that to them being condescending to Latinos, who they want to call Latinx. And by the way, anyone who uses the word Latinx, I promise you, is not a Latino and not a Latina. They are a rich white liberal. And to them, it sounds perfectly normal to say you cute little Latinxes are as diverse as tacos. I think it's the same sort of thing here. They put this out, and all of them, I actually think they're home celebrating Transgender Day of Visibility. They're not really aware it's Easter. I guess they know that there are a lot of bunny rabbits around for some reason, but I don't know that they could tell you why.
All right, so let me ask you this. Let's go with your theory for a second, because there's definitely a chance that you're correct on this. But the White House spokesman,
and the truth is probably some of both.
Yeah,
but the question is, which is the predominant one? And I lean to their just being that oblivious that they don't even realize they don't know any person of faith who actually celebrates Easter. So it doesn't occur to them that there's anything offensive about what they're saying.
All right, so let's talk about the double down, because the White House spokesman, John Pierre, doubled down after President Joe Biden declared Easter Sunday Transgender Day of Visibility. She put a statement out on X Saturday following the backlash to Biden's animated affirmation of the controversial, quote, holiday that happens to be on the same day as the holiest Christian holiday that we have on the calendar. Quote, on Transgender Day of Visibility, the Biden-Harris administration honors the extraordinary courage and contributions of transgender Americans and reaffirms our nation's commitment to forming a more perfect union where all people are treated equally. That is what she put on X on Saturday. Do you think they just doubled down because they had no choice? It was like, all right, we look like idiots. We've just offended a ton of Christians and people of faith in this country. We basically just spit in their face. So this will be our way of saying, hey, we're kind of doing two things at once. Calm down.
So I don't think they know anyone they offended. I think they view anyone who would be offended as a deplorable. So it's I genuinely believe there was not a person in this White House who was offended. And most of them would tell you, I think, they don't know anyone. They if they have a family member, they think they're an ignorant family member they don't talk to anymore. And listen, I'll tell you what I was actually more... two things on this. Number one, I put out a statement, as did a lot of people, pointing out how ridiculous this was, and I put it out on X, and it was interesting, all the lefties who responded to me, there were a bunch of them that said, no, it just Transgender Day of Visibility happened to occur this Sunday. It's not our fault that Easter coincided with what is clearly this day is Transgender Day. And it was kind of like, okay, I'm not sure about this holiday you're talking about, but Easter's been around a couple thousand years. It's like they treat Easter like, who is this interloper that dare land in the midst of our celebration? But let me say something else, Ben, that actually I found even more offensive, which is every year the White House has an Easter egg roll. The Easter egg roll is a fun event, and, you know, you have a lot of people who take their kids there, and they have Easter eggs, and they're wooden, and they're painted, and they're really neat. And there's a contest for kids. Well, the Biden White House has a contest for kids to paint Easter eggs, and they had a flyer describing what the kids must do. And here's what the flyer for the contest said. An Easter egg design submission, quote, must not include any questionable content, religious symbols, overtly religious themes, or partisan political statements. So understand, and by the way, this is on behalf of First Lady Jill Biden. Surprised she didn't call it the Latinx Easter egg roll. They invite people there, and understand, they want you to paint Easter eggs that, according to their dictate, have nothing to do with Easter. They literally prohibit, they say, any religious themes, symbols, or content so on a celebration of Easter.
A cross, right? A cross would be overly religious theme on an Easter egg.
All right, what are the most common three words that any Christian says on Easter?
He is risen.
He is risen. And what does everyone respond? He is risen indeed. I sat down, I texted a whole bunch of my friends today and texted them scriptures, but he is risen. So according to the Biden rules, you're not allowed to put he is risen. You are allowed to put an Easter bunny. You are allowed to put something utterly secular. And look, what I find grotesquely offensive is, this White House puts out celebrations of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, as they should, on the Jewish holidays. Do they have a rule? No Jewish symbols on the Jewish high holidays. They celebrate Ramadan. What are the odds you think on Ramadan they say, nope, you cannot say anything Muslim on Ramadan? Like, Easter is a Christian holiday, and these bastards, I mean, this, it really does, they're telling children, when you celebrate Easter at the White House, it cannot actually be Easter.
Yeah, I rarely, and I'm going to ask your permission. I know what the answer is going to be, but I don't share our text. But I'd like to read part of your text today that you mentioned. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
So one of the scriptures that you sent in a text that I got from you, it says, "He is not there. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Luke 24:6-7. Now, I love that verse, and you sent it to me this morning. Thank you for that, by the way. And it was one that I was thinking about that kids learn. In fact, my kids in school learn Luke 24:6-7. This week, it was their memory verse. What if a kid wanted to put that on an egg? My kid would have thought of that, right? Because this is part of the holiday. And they would have been, I guess, disqualified or not even be allowed in the Easter egg art contest of the White House, because that would be religious texts, which would be, I guess, extremism in the eyes of the White House.
So let me read more of the White House's official guidance. Quote, selected designs representing the unique experiences and stories of National Guard children will be brought to life on real hen eggs by talented egg artists from across the country and displayed at the White House this Easter and Passover season. Children can't promote material that promotes, quote, bigotry, racism, hatred, or harm against any group or individual. Okay, I'm good with all that. You shouldn't be promoting that. Or promotes discrimination based on race, gender, religion, nationality, disability, sexual orientation, or age. So under their definition, anything that acknowledges Christianity presumably is promoting discrimination based on religion. If you quote Jesus as saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes unto the Father but by me. That, according to the White House rules, nope, you're not allowed to acknowledge it on Easter. Easter is the celebration. Why are we having a holiday? Do we just somehow think bunny rabbits lay eggs? Like, what is the purpose of this event? And that level there is a
It's deep, vitriol. Can we call it that
yes,
towards Christians?
Because
that's what it is.
It is abiding hate for people of faith generally, but especially for Christians. And that's true for Catholics. That's true for evangelicals. It's true. Look, if you celebrated Easter, I mean, I want to ask you, if you were asked, hey, do you want to paint an egg for the White House? And would it occur to you, if it was an Easter egg, to say something about what the holiday is about? Well, that is prohibited under the rules from this White House. I got to say, that really pisses me off.
This also makes me go back to when people said that conservatives like myself, I don't know if you've ever tweeted something like this, so I'll ask you. You know, when several years ago when we talk about, I say Christmas, the real meaning of Christmas under attack, and people are trying to take Christ out of Christmas. And then the left is like, you guys are crazy, you're paranoid, you're radical extremist Christians, no one's trying to take Christ out of Christmas. And the slippery slope, and then you fast forward to this Easter, the White House is saying nothing religious on the Easter eggs. We're making, you know, Easter the same as transgender, you know, visibility day. And I'm sitting there going, see, I'm not crazy. I know what you're doing, and I'm watching it, and I'm calling you out on it. And you guys don't understand that we understand when we should be offended by what you're trying to do, which is have Christmas without Christ, have Easter without the resurrection.
So I'll tell you, in the Senate, I mean, there's a consistent divide. Democrats won't say Merry Christmas. It is only Republicans. And actually, when you say Merry Christmas, you almost feel like a crazy rebel. I mean, it is a bizarre, you know, it's happy holidays, but you're kind of like, gee, what is the holiday you're celebrating? And by the way, look, for my Jewish friends, when they're celebrating Jewish holidays, I am happy to wish them the best, celebrating holidays that are important to their faith. But as a Christian, I celebrate Christmas. I celebrate Easter. And for the left, look, they're antagonistic to faith across the board, but there is a particular vitriol, hatred, antagonism, resentment, all of those are there to Christianity in particular, which is why they literally want to erase Christ from Christmas. It's apparently about a fat guy in a sleigh, and they want to erase Christ from Easter. It's apparently about bunny rabbits and eggs.
It's incredible. Let me tell you about our friends over at Patriot Mobile. If you have a cell phone and you're with Big Mobile, you need to know what's happening. Big Mobile is giving big donations to Democratic candidates, causes, and organizations, including Planned Parenthood. That is exactly why I want you to know about Patriot Mobile and why you should make the switch. Now, when I switched to Patriot Mobile, I had the same questions that you're having right now. Am I going to have good service? The answer is yes. You're going to have great service. In fact, you're going to have the same nationwide dependable coverage that you're used to right now. How does that happen? Because Patriot Mobile uses the same three major networks that you're using right now. That means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. Second question I had was it going to take a bunch of time? Is it going to be easy or hard? It's actually really easy. You get to keep your same cell phone number. You get to keep your same phone or upgrade to a new one. And they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team that makes switching easy. So check out Patriot Mobile, because here's the best part. When you pay your bill, about 5% of that bill goes back to support free speech causes, religious freedom causes, the sanctity of life organizations, standing up for a Second Amendment, and then giving back to our military, our veterans, our first responders, and wounded warrior heroes. Don't give your money to woke companies anymore. It's really easy to make a difference with your cell phone every month. And you'll save money as well when you go to Patriot Mobile. PatriotMobile.com/verdict. That's PatriotMobile.com/verdict. Get in the game with your dollars and support a conservative company that supports what you believe in. Free activation when you use the offer code VERDICT. That's PatriotMobile.com/verdict or 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Senator, I want to pivot to another shocking story. I say shocking tongue-in-cheek. There are tons of warnings and data points and history that back up that when you mandate ridiculous wages, it ends up hurting the people that you claim you're helping the most, specifically on big increases in minimum wage. Now, The federal government has a minimum wage, but states have gone to another level, mandating higher wages. Fast forward to California. They have the highest unemployment rate of any state in America right now, and they've just gone and pushed their $20 minimum wage when it comes to fast food workers. They did this, and guess what happened? Over 800, for example, pizza delivery drivers got notice that they were being laid off, and they deliver for Pizza Hut because it is unsustainable to pay $20 an hour to deliver pizzas. And yet Democrats are still cheering on this insanity.
Well, it's a lot more than that. So this new law goes into effect today, Monday, and it is $20 an hour for fast food workers at chains with more than 60 locations in the United States.
Not in California, in the United States.
In the United States. And by the way, that is a 25% increase from the old minimum wage of $16 an hour in California. And the layoffs have been massive and far-reaching. So Pizza Hut laid off more than 1,200 delivery workers. That was in Pizza Hut. Round Table Pizza, a chain of about 400 locations, said it will lay off 1,280 delivery workers. Excalibur Pizza, one of his franchisees, has plans to cut 73 drivers' workers, 20% of its workforce. And by the way, McDonald's, Chipotle, Jack in the Box, and other chains say what they're going to do is raise the menu prices to offset the costs. By the way, they're doing more. So California-based El Pollo Loco has told investors it is automating some of its salsa making to mitigate minimum wage rises. Jack in the Box is testing fryer robots and automatic drink dispensers. And understand, none of this is surprising. This is to be predicted. In California, there are roughly 557,000 fast food workers, and there are about 30,000 restaurants in California. This minimum wage increase is going to drive some of those restaurants out of business. Some of them will go broke. When they go broke, all of their employees will lose their jobs. Both the minimum wage employees and the higher ones, the managers, everyone will lose their job when the restaurants go broke. The ones that don't go broke, we are seeing literally thousands upon thousands of people being fired. And by the way, the pizza places, what they're saying they're going to do is they're going to use DoorDash and Uber Eats. They're just going to use third-party apps, and they're firing all their drivers. So, and it's interesting that there was a quote, there's an article in the Daily Mail that quotes one guy, Michael Ojeda, 29, who's a Pizza Hut driver in Ontario, California, and he said he received a notice from his Pizza Hut franchisee in December informing him that his last day would be in February. And here's his quote. Pizza Hut was my career for nearly a decade, and with little to no notice, it was taken away. Well, there are consequences when you elect radical Democrats, and California has done it across the board. They have every statewide elected officials a Democrat. They have supermajorities in both houses of the legislature. And understand, over and over and over again, when you jack up the minimum wage, this is what happens. And one of the things I like to do when people say, well, we want a $20 minimum wage, that helps people. Okay, well, if it helps people, why would you stop at 20? Why not $50 an hour? Why not 100? Why not $1,000 an hour? Let's pass a law that everyone must be paid at least $1,000 an hour. Wouldn't that magically mean that money would rain into the hands of everyone? Isn't that how it works, Ben?
Apparently, if you've never been to school and you don't know how the economy work and how inflation works, and yet you have warnings. We've seen this time and time again. There are professors that will come out and say, when you increase the minimum wage, you think you're helping people, but in reality, the cost of basic food and milk and bread and all these things go up, so it actually takes more money out of their pocket, and yet they still keep doing it. And this on top of the fact that they already had the highest unemployment rate of any state in America right now. This is only going to make it not just a little bit worse, a lot worse.
So let me tell you, Ben, I spend a lot of time actually talking to small business owners and restaurateurs in particular. I love restaurateurs, and I tell, whether it's Burger King franchises or Mexican restaurants, or also I meet up with all sorts of restaurant owners, both in Texas and when they come to Washington. And one of the things,
explain it when you say restaurateur, because I don't think people understand exactly what that means.
It's someone who owns a restaurant, someone who owns a restaurant, and sometimes they have one restaurant. Sometimes they'll have a dozen Jack in the Boxes or a dozen Burger Kings but when I meet with restaurant owners, one of the things I tell them all the time is I say, listen, you may think you're in the food business, but I actually don't think you're in the food business. You're in the opportunity business. Because for millions and millions of Americans, their first job is in a restaurant. And one of the things I do all the time, Ben, when I'm at a town hall, I've got, 300-400 people in a room, I'll ask them, how many people in this room have ever worked at a restaurant? Inevitably, about half the hands in the room go up. Now, the argument lefties say is, well, if you're making 10 bucks an hour flipping burgers, you can't feed a family of four on 10 bucks an hour. And you know what? They're right. It's actually very hard to feed a family of four on 10 bucks an hour. Here's the problem. Most people are not feeding a family of four flipping burgers. What happens, and what restaurants are all about, is they're often the entry-level job. So you get a lot of teenagers. You get a lot of 16, 17, 18, 19-year-olds. It's their first job. And they learn skills. They learn to show up. They learn to show up on time. They learn to interact with customers. They learn to make change. They learn to work hard. They learn to be disciplined. All of the skills that enable them to get promoted. So very few people spend their entire career flipping burgers at 10 bucks an hour. That's an entry-level job. And by the way, if you do it and do a good job, you almost inevitably get promoted. So let me give a personal story from my family background. When my dad came from Cuba, it was 1957, and he came to Texas. He was 18. He had nothing. He was broke. And he couldn't speak English. So the very first job he got was washing dishes at a restaurant. And he made 50 cents an hour. Now, why did he get that job? Because he couldn't speak English. And a lot of jobs, most jobs in Texas at the time in 1957, you had to speak English. You didn't have to speak English to wash a dish. So that's what he could do with the skill set he had at that time. Now, I will point out that by the time that he and my mom had me, he wasn't making 50 cents an hour anymore. But his first job let him get started. And by the way, he was a freshman at UT. That money at the time, he paid his way through school. But what happened is very quickly thereafter, he started learning English. And when he learned English, he got promoted. His second job was at the same restaurant, and it was as a cook. And at the second job, he made 80 cents an hour. Now, he thought a cook was a much better job than a dishwasher, and it was. And 80 cents an hour was a lot better than 50 cents an hour. His next job after that was as a teaching assistant at University of Texas, teaching undergrads math. And his next job after that was as a computer programmer at IBM. But he doesn't get those subsequent jobs without that first job washing dishes. And the left doesn't get that when you do this, the people who are being laid off, by the way, are predominantly low-skilled, low-income, and very young. The majority of people who California just laid off, the statistics tell us, are very likely to be Hispanic or African American, to be teenagers with limited skills. And this was their first job where they were getting skills. And Democrats are pulling up the ladder and saying, you don't get to get skills. Instead, you should be unemployed. But guess what? We got a welfare check for you, and you can just stop working right now because we'll pay you as long as you vote Democrat.
Here's my question, and it comes back to California really full circle. You have all these people that are laid off. I wonder how many of them will not vote for Democrats next time. Number one. Or two, they just say, okay, it is what it is, and I'll get some free cash for a little bit, and then I'll find another job. Or is there going to be a turning point, do you think, Senator, where it gets so bad with the absurdity of $20 an hour, $25 an hour, whatever it is, and the unsustainability of it, that there's no other way but for people's eyes to be open? I just don't have a lot of confidence.
Yeah, look, I don't know, and I suspect it will be some of both. So one of the things, again, that a lot of Democrats don't understand is that in any business, you have a trade-off between labor and capital. And so you have a choice which one to invest in. So the example I use, when my dad was washing dishes making 50 cents an hour, thank God some well-meaning liberal didn't come along and pass a $2 minimum wage law. Now, they might have said, I want to help those poor people making 50 cents an hour, so I'm going to mandate you cannot pay anyone less than $2 an hour. You know what they would have done? They would have fired my father.
Yeah.
And they would have bought a dishwasher. That you have a trade-off. Do you use labor or do you use capital? Notice when I was going through in California that they're discussing stores that are that they're looking at automated salsa makers, that are looking at robotic French fry fryers, that are looking at automated soft drink dispensers. Have you ever been to a restaurant and ordered an iPad or in a kiosk?
Yes, and it's becoming more regular now.
And you know what that is? This is actually ancient history, but I used to describe iPads and kiosks as a $15 waitress, which is what happened is some well-meaning Democrat said, you got to pay people $15 an hour. And you know what the restaurant owner said? I can't stay in business. The math doesn't work. So I'm going to fire the waitress. I'm going to fire the waiter. And I'm going to put a piece of metal. And you know what I have to pay the piece of metal? $0 an hour. Now, I've got some upfront capital. But once I put the iPad or the kiosk, I don't have to pay him an hourly wage. And when you jack up the cost of labor, inevitably the result is people lose their jobs. And the people who lose it understand who Democrats hurt. They hurt the most vulnerable. By the way, the same thing is true when Democrats did shutdowns during COVID. When they shut schools down, the people who got hurt the most were low-income kids. They were African-American kids. They were Hispanic kids. The data show we have the biggest learning gap since we have been recording learning results. And by the way, the racial gap grew more during the COVID lockdowns than in any period in recorded history. So understand, this is what Democrats do. And by the way, if your parents were rich, guess what? The school shutdowns, they were inconvenient, but you could hire a tutor. You had resources. Your kids, rich kids, didn't fall behind all that much during the lockdowns. Low-income kids, if they had a single mom with three, four kids, for millions of them, they essentially didn't go to school for months and months and months on end. And again, this is what Democrat policies systematically do. They hurt the most vulnerable while at the same time they're sermonizing about how they want to help the most vulnerable.
Yeah, great point. When you wake up in the morning, if you're like me, you want a great cup of coffee. You want a premium cup of coffee, and you don't want it from a woke coffee company. That's why I want you to know about Blackout Coffee. Look, I do a radio show every morning at 7 a.m. I got to be up. I got to be ready. I got to be read in on the news of the day. And then I've got to be able to tell people what's going on. I'm not going to do that with an average cup of coffee. And I'm not going to do it with a woke coffee brand. That's how I found out Blackout Coffee. And that's why I want you to try them. And I'm going to save you 20% right now. Blackout Coffee is 100% committed to conservative values as well. From sourcing the beans to the roasting process, customer support, and shipping, they embody true American values and accept no compromise on quality or taste. So check out blackoutcoffee.com/verdict. Why? Because if you use the promo code VERDICT, you're going to get 20% off your first order. So get away from the woke coffee companies out there and go with a premium quality cup of Blackout Coffee. You're going to love it. If you've never tried it, now's your chance. Be awake, not woke. That's blackoutcoffee.com/verdict. Use promo code VERDICT. You'll get 20% off your first order, and you'll be hooked just like I am, drinking Blackout Coffee every single day. Finally, Senator, I want to ask you about something that happened this last week, and it was a story that was, I was even shocked by it. The former RNC chairwoman was hired by NBC News to become a commentator / NBC News. She was hired, it came out, and what ended up happening was virtually every name that was a host of a show, a big talent at NBC, including Meet the Press, said, we're not going to work with her. She's a radical Trump extremist. January 6er, we're not going to work with her. And they literally ripped her on air in a way that I didn't even think they would do, but they did it. And here's a montage of just how bad it was.
Joined by former RNC chair Rhonda McDaniel in her first interview since stepping down as party chair. In full disclosure to our viewers, this interview was scheduled weeks before it was announced that McDaniel would become a paid NBC News contributor. This will be a news interview, and I was not involved in her hiring.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation. And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this, because many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting, have been met with character assassination.
We weren't asked our opinion of the hiring, but if we were, we would have strongly objected to it.
NBC News, either wittingly or unwittingly, is teaching election deniers that what they can do stretches well beyond appearing on our air in interviews to peddle lies about the sanctity and integrity of our elections, but that they can do that as one of us, as badge-carrying employees of NBC News.
There is an easy way to avoid the controversy NBC News has stumbled into. Don't hire anyone close to the crimes.
She literally backed an illegal scheme to steal an election in the state of Michigan.
That is the type of experience that Rhonda McDaniel brings to the table. And that experience does not get us to a deeper understanding of anything in the public debate.
I want to associate myself with all my colleagues, both at MSNBC and at NBC News, who have voiced loud and principled objections to our company putting on the payroll someone who hasn't just attacked us as journalists, but someone who is part of an ongoing project to get rid of our system of government.
Senator, that was clearly orchestrated by the talent. They were not going to work with her, and they were going to ruin her career before it even started.
Well, look, NBC News, sadly, is a joke. MSNBC News, it would be a joke if anyone watched it, but it's just sort of a left-wing primal scream. And the utter hypocrisy of everyone. So much of this was started by Chuck Todd, and Chuck Todd had this whole screed, this self-righteous, holier-than-thou screed that he did on Meet the Press. Now, here's an interesting bit you may not know. Do you know how Chuck Todd got his start?
How was that?
As a staffer in 1992 for the presidential campaign of Senator Tom Harkin, a Democrat. So Chuck Todd was a Democrat staffer on a presidential campaign, mind you, not just in passing. But let's go back to Chuck Todd's predecessor, Tim Russert. Tim Russert, the gold standard of Meet the Press, the gold standard of NBC News. Do you know what Tim Russert did before he went to NBC?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say a Democratic staffer.
He worked for U.S. Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, a Democrat from New York. He served as special counsel to Daniel Patrick Moynihan. He served as chief of staff to Daniel Patrick Moynihan. And then in 1983, he became a top aide to New York Governor Mario Cuomo, also a Democrat. So he was a senior Democrat staffer over and over again for multiple Democrats. And then he went to NBC News. Let's fast forward. George Stephanopoulos. Where did George Stephanopoulos make his name? As a senior press hack for the Clinton White House. He was a political staffer his entire life. By the way, he's the premier political commentator at ABC now. And let's not forget Jen Psaki. Happily ensconced at MSNBC. She was, of course, Joe Biden's White House press secretary. She stood up there and spin, baby, spin, baby, spin. And she got hired basically straight from the White House, where she continues to do the same job. She is still, as far as I'm concerned, the White House press secretary. She's actually a much better press secretary than Karine Jean-Pierre. Why? Because Karine Jean-Pierre is not very good at her job. All she does is lie. To Psaki's credit, she actually rarely directly lied. She just pivoted, she circled back, she spun, but she rarely made flat-out, demonstrably provable falsehoods, whereas Karine Jean-Pierre seems to do so on an almost daily basis. But the entirety of that, understand the position of NBC, is essentially, we cannot tolerate an actual Republican who works for us. And by the way, there were a few folks who got online and they said, no, that's not true, because Nicole Wallace is on MSNBC and she was a Republican staffer. And Joe Scarborough, he was a Republican congressman. Well, that's true. They were in a prior life Republicans, but both Nicole Wallace and Joe Scarborough voted for Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden. So the position of NBC News is we cannot actually hire anybody who voted for Donald Trump. As long as you vote for Democrats, you can have been a Republican long in your distant life, but you must have abandoned half of the country and decided they're evil deplorables. Those are the only people we are willing to hire.
Welcome to MSNBC and NBC News, as you described it. And again, I'm not a big person advocating or supporting like, oh, sue somebody, but I hope she gets a big payday. The way they treat her, and apparently she found out she was fired through media reports, not even from a phone call from NBC News. I hope that she gets a huge payout from this. She deserves every dime after watching her colleagues run her name through the mud the way they did and treat her the way they did.
So, and let me make an important point on this. So MSNBC has a niche as a hard left network. That's why they have so few viewers, but they're hard left. Now, let me ask you something. Why does NBC, NBC pretends to actually be a real journalistic outfit. Why do they have a subsidiary that is just a hard left platform? By the way, they all decry Fox News, but MSNBC is hard left unapologetically. So, and by the way, you know what the MS stands for? Microsoft. Why exactly is Microsoft funding hard left propaganda? Why is NBC, why are they okay with a network that has an explicit ideological agenda? And one of the points to understand, it was NBC News that hired Ronna McDaniel. And I'm going to make the case to you, there is no difference between MSNBC and NBC. They are one and the same. NBC no longer pretends to be journalists. They are advocates. They are MSNBC. They are the left wing of the Democrat Party. There's a reason, by the way, in the last presidential cycle, they were thrown out of moderating because they're so hardcore and partisan. Now, I guess somebody in their corporate leadership decided they wanted to at least have a nod of have somebody on the staff who had voted with half of the country. But let me ask you, Ben, so you actually have been a paid conservative at a left-wing network at CNN. Yeah. You were paid for a number of years. What was that like then? And give us your perspectives from having been in Ronna's shoes, although at a different time.
It's funny that you asked this because I was doing hosting Outnumbered on, I think it was Wednesday when this story broke, and they came to me, they're like, look, you've got an interesting perspective. I said, yeah, I was hired my contract was extended when I was at CNN. I was there a total of 7 years, but the last year was just, and this is how much it even changed at CNN. They used to want, when Jeff Zucker took over, a grand debate. They wanted conservatives to have people that they thought were well representing them so that conservatives wouldn't, you know, basically immediately skip over the channel. Once Donald Trump won in 16, yep, the wheels came off at CNN. They hated him. They hated, and they yelled and screamed and tried to turn you into bigot, racist, homophobe, xenophobe, everything they could. And try to ruin your career when you were on, because they couldn't yell at Trump, but they could yell at you and you were supporting Trump or defending Trump. But in the last year that I was there, they hired me just to have my name on a piece of paper as a get out of free jail card when someone said, you guys have no conservatives. And they would say, no, look over here. We have Ben Ferguson. In my last year, I did two appearances on CNN. Now, that's absurd from a financial standpoint. If you were a financial person, why would you hire a guy, give him a salary, and only have him come to work 2 days out of 365 days in a year? One of those two appearances was after the Hollywood Reporter did a story about me being benched. And then they put me on the next day on a Saturday for 4 minutes just to say, no, see, he's not benched. We just used him today. And then never used me again. And with Ronna McDaniel, I have to say with her, I think that's part of what they wanted. They wanted to go into this election cycle saying, we've got a token conservative. This lady just ran the RNC. We're not biased. We've got her on the air.
By the way, I'll tell you, Jen Psaki. So as Verdict listeners know, my latest book, Unwoke, How to Defeat Cultural Marxism in America, when it came out, I did a ton of radio interviews. We actually called and offered to go on Jen Psaki's show. She said, no, we don't want you. And by the way, The View also turned me down. So the last two books I did previously, I went on The View for both of them. And by the way,
the ratings were huge when you
The ratings were massive, and I don't think it is an overstatement to say it did not go well for the host because they didn't know what they were talking about, and I pointed out they didn't know what they were talking about. Look, with Whoopi Goldberg, when I went on for my book, Justice Corrupted, How the Left Has Weaponized the Legal System, I went on, and all the hosts of The View begin screaming at me, and they're like, you know, you Republicans are all election deniers. And they're used to everyone who agrees with them, so they think that that's just like a kill shot. And I said, oh, you mean like when Hillary Clinton insisted that she won and that Donald Trump's election was illegitimate? She said she didn't say that, so I had the quote and I read it out loud. Or I said, do you mean when Al Gore said that George W. Bush was illegitimately elected and the election was stolen from him? Or do you mean like when Stacey Abrams said that she was the governor of Georgia and that it was illegitimate? Or do you mean like when Joe Biden said George W. Bush was illegitimately elected? I just read quote after quote after quote. They'd never heard any of them. By the way, a week later, they had Chelsea Clinton on to say, my mother never said that quote that she's on TV saying and that I read verbatim. But then the next exchange with Whoopi was really interesting because after saying election denier, which is their sort of first response, then she said, and you guys are all a bunch of angry, rioting criminals. and to which I laughed and said, really, you mean what about the entire year of Black Lives Matter and Antifa riots that burned American cities across this country for a year? And Whoopi looks at me completely confused, and she says, I don't know what an Antifa riot is. I have no idea what that is. And it was, they're in such an echo chamber, they will only talk to people who agree to them, and sadly, there are a couple of million, mostly women, watching The View, who are just listening to partisan propaganda, and in their world, there are no Antifa riots. That doesn't exist. And by the way, for the last book, Unwoke, The View said, nope, we don't want you on. That didn't go well for us at all. And Jen Psaki, who I've never been on her show, you would think she might be interested. And by the way, I'm perfectly happy to her to come attack me and scream and be a crazy nut if she wanted to. I mean, I was not expecting a love fest, but their view was, sorry, no, we don't want you on at all. We have one view, and we will never, ever, ever have anything to the contrary. That is MSNBC. And apparently that's NBC too.
Yeah, great point. Don't forget, we do this show Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and a week in review on Saturdays. Hit that subscribe or follow or auto download button. And on those in-between days, grab my podcast, the Ben Ferguson Podcast. I'll keep you up to date on the latest breaking news on those in-between days. And the Senator and I will see you back here Wednesday morning.